Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
It never ceases to amaze me the range of people and great causes for this, our weekly look at some good news. Like Theda and Ben Prevost, they are married with four children. When Theda initially told us about her story, she expressed amazement at how God seems to orchestrate things. She said it made you realise that life is no mere chance and that it holds a greater purpose and destiny. Theda's life in Australia began as a refugee. It's one of myriad numbers of stories that probably needs to better inform Australia's current approach to refugees. For now, 32 years after coming here, Theda and her husband Ben are embarking on what could literally be a life-saving mission back to her homeland, Cambodia, in a way that I'm sure will probably surprise you. Ben and Theda, welcome to Open House.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
Great to meet you and welcome. Theda, you came to Australia at the age of two. Tell us something of the Cambodia that you left behind. That was in the early 80s.
I was actually born in 1979. And during that time, the nation was actually undergoing a really massive civil war. There's like a great evil uprising.
Pol Pot?
Yes, Pol Pot. And so what happened is pretty much a lot of the people that were educated or the people that were actually really going to have sort of a life for themselves were killed, slaughtered.
This is millions of people.
Yes, millions and millions of people died. And so my parents thought, well, they've got a young daughter. And they really wanted to take us away from this country and give us a better opportunity. And so my parents did actually escape to a refugee camp in Thailand after a few attempts. So it wasn't their first attempt before they got there. So after a few attempts, they actually ended up on the Thailand refugee camp. Australia came up and they applied. And from there, here we are.
I think it's helpful for us to take ourselves out of our comfortable Australian existence and just contemplate what a tough call that was for them to up stumps, leave Cambodia, go to Thailand as refugees.
Absolutely. For me, when I look back and I think about the journey that my parents would have taken, it really made me see the great compassion and the great vision that they had for our lives. They actually wanted us to have a better upbringing and they wanted us to actually have the chance of actually living life. If we stayed there, who knows where we could have been and who knows where we could have ended up. For them to leave their parents and their family members, because my parents come from large families, and also during that time on my dad's side, my dad actually did experience his father and his brothers, a couple of his brothers, die at the hand of the Khmer Rouge army under Pol Pot.
Yet when you arrived here, life was not entirely good for you, was it?
No. Well, even though my parents had a vision of us being raised in a good family, starting a whole new life, in their mindset, it was very much the right thing to do. As a young person, you never really totally understand why mum and dad does something.
Yes.
It's almost until you become parents like I am now. And I look back and I hear some of the things that my kids say to me. And I just wonder, you know what? One day you will understand when you become a mother.
You don't know better.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's almost kind of like, you know what? You'll understand one day when you become a mum or a dad yourself.
Oh, Phoebe, you're such a mum.
So I've had many of those moments.
But where, you felt a pressure from your parents.
I did, yeah. It was definitely a pressure to get well educated, to live life in a whole new environment. My dad, he was a hard worker and he really wanted the best upbringing for our family. My mum was at home looking after the kids and trying to make sure that we have food on our table every single day. So the pressure for us was more, okay, we're in this nation called Australia, which is actually totally different to Cambodia.
Yeah.
And we're living in two different type of cultures because in our household, we were very much Cambodian. But then I used to go to school and it was a totally different culture. It was very Western. And so I was in a conflict. I was like, well, who am I? Do I behave this way? But then still being bound up by my family's expectations in their Cambodian culture.
So how'd it play out for you then?
I did end up kind of being quite rebellious with my parents, not intentionally. And I look back and I say to my mum and dad, I'm so sorry. I do. I apologize so wholeheartedly. But I kind of found myself in bad relationships in the drugs and alcohol scene, going to nightclubs and trying to fulfill that need of love and understanding from really things that were just really futile.
Yeah.
They didn't amount to anything.
All that changed for you.
Absolutely.
At the age of 20.
Absolutely. Hallelujah. This is a good turning point in my life.
She's off.
Yeah. For me, okay, I got to the point where I was at the lowest of lows of my life. And I just remember one night I was at a holiday house because I was actually trying to find out, what am I actually going to do with my life? I just remember being just totally distraught, feeling lost, feeling like there was no sense of hope. I didn't know what else to do. So I remember just coming to the end of my bed and I just laid myself on the floor and I said, God, if you are real, you got to show me. And you know what? At that time when I said that prayer, I didn't know what was going to happen. I was just at a point where I just needed so much more with my life. And you know what? God answers prayers. And so 3 days later, literally, a friend of mine came up to me and said, I know of someone who can come and help you. I know of a church called Hawkesbury Church who can help you. And I just went, okay, I don't know this place because Hawkesbury Church is in Windsor and I grew up in Bonnyrigg. Windsor was pretty much whoop-whoop when it came to where Bonnyrigg was. So in that moment, it was already a divine appointment. So I got to the church and I met up with two pastors there and I shared with them just my heart and they shared with me the gospel message. They shared with me how much Jesus loved me and how much of a purpose and a plan that he has for my life. And in that moment, they asked if I wanted to accept Jesus into my life. And I said it wholeheartedly, yes. That was a turning point for me. I just remember at that moment, God made himself real to me. If anyone was to say to me that God wasn't real, I'd say, hang on, I've actually had a personal encounter with him and he has totally changed my life. I just remember coming out of that room. Everything just looked so much clearer. It looked brighter. The Holy Spirit was with me and I was able to step out knowing that God has got my back and he wants me to actually live my life according to his purpose and plan. And he knew me before I was even born. So he knew, even when I was in Cambodia and coming to Australia, that there was a plan for my life.
And Theda's been telling this story, I must say, because it's radio, with tears streaming down her face, tears of joy.
Really. Yes, absolutely.
And this wasn't a mere addition to your life. You grabbed it with fervency.
Absolutely.
In your words. Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You grabbed it.
Yep, because for me, I realized that everything else that I had tried were just all momentary. They were all fleeting. They didn't last. I needed something that was lasting. And the love of God has saved me through many things. And his grace has allowed me to actually see that life is actually worth living and that life is actually of purpose and of value and that there is a message for people to hear and that message is the hope of Jesus Christ.
So Ben Prevost arrives in your life.
Absolutely.
How did that happen, Ben?
I was saved about 6 months before Theda. My salvation experience was not necessarily at church. I was depressed sitting in my bedroom and so no one could talk to me, so there was no one going to share the gospel. But as I sat there, I actually heard God. I just heard this voice tell me, go to church.
So how did she strike you? How did he strike you, Theda?
To be honest, initially, there was no striking.
It
was more, we were both newly saved. Our eyes were focused on what we could do to actually improve our walk in God. So really, we were just friends for a good few years. God just sort of opened up our eyes and we just kind of thought, hang on, there is something happening here.
And then it was just, one night having a conversation and into my head came the thought, this is what I want in a wife, being straight to the point as I am. I told her.
So, and she said yes.
Yeah.
So fast forward to today, 4 kids. There's one very powerful passion in your heart and on your heart, and it stems from you, Ben, being a swimming instructor. Take us through this passion.
We went as a family and we were in Cambodia. We'd taken a team over from our church and we waved goodbye to them after the 2 weeks of the trip and we stayed for another 2 weeks. And as we're sitting there that first night, the kids were asleep and we were just chatting, and I just felt that God put in our heart as we looked around. Children drown all the time in Asia, and I've since found that it's the second biggest killer of kids in Asia. And so we hear about the dirty water thing, which does need to be fixed, but drowning's bigger than that.
In fact, every 45 seconds, it's estimated a child in Asia drowns.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And it's for lack of what, I suppose, in Australia, it's a skill that we kind of take for granted.
Absolutely. Most kids learn swimming.
Yeah, and you do it at school. And everybody learns to swim. Even our one-year-old, he fell in the pool at home and he knew to turn around and grab the edge.
How is it that so many kids die, Theda? Every 45 seconds.
From my understanding of just really the Asian culture, it's just something that's just not being taught.
Yeah.
Purely because it is a third world nation. And in their mindset, I believe, it's not one of their concerns, because they're constantly concerned about trying to provide themselves an income.
Just get by.
Yes. Yeah. To kind of work in order to survive. And so it is a skill that's often been neglected purely because it's really not seen as absolutely necessary. But in that alarming statistic, it makes you kind of wonder, well, if we can help in some way, why not?
You could save thousands of lives.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty awesome. But at the same time, it's almost kind of like it's something simple that we could do in Australia. It's just common knowledge, and it's just the culture for us to actually go about and teach our children to learn how to swim. But like in Asia, it's the second largest incident where people actually die. And then you kind of just wonder, okay, maybe there is an avenue where we can actually bring our skill.
I've never heard of a missionary undertaking like this, but in a way, that's what you're doing and why you're doing it.
For us, it's keeping kids in families.
Yeah.
So in Cambodia, the poor people live on the water, the opposite to the Western world, where the rich people live on the water. And so the poor people live on the water because that land is not seen as, it's not very valuable. And so children drown all the time, and some of them, they're not even a number on the population list, because they haven't been registered. And so children are dying that only their family and God knows. And so hard is to see them kept in families and alive long enough to meet their creator before they have to see him face to face.
That's right.
So the plan, Theda, is to go back to your homeland, Cambodia. Yeah. And it strikes me that you're doing in reverse a big thing like your parents did coming here.
I'm still digesting all that.
Yes. But that's your plan.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Because we just realized just how powerful God really is and how he can actually turn lives around, and how much we actually want to see the same hope that Jesus has shown for us to the nation of Cambodia, who really are, in many instances, really hopeless when it comes to knowing that there is a God, the great God, that can actually really help them and actually see their lives transformed with the purpose and destiny that is actually really over their lives. Like, it is a big step for us to move our family over to Cambodia, but we feel like this is what God has called us to do. And for us, if God speaks, then we move. For us, it's quite a generational thing as well, because we want to actually show our children to hear the voice of God too.
And your vision has captured the imagination of the mission organisation, Australian Christian Churches International.
We were youth pastors, and after a trip, I came back and I called my senior pastor, said, we need to have a meeting. He knew straight away what the meeting was about. And the process started from there, and we called ACCI, which is Australian Christian Churches International, and spoke to the people there and just shared our heart and vision. And so since then, we've been going through the process of working out how all that's going to look and budget so a family of six can still live.
Does it scare you at all, Ben?
No. No, there's not much that does scare me. I spent 21 years of my life trying to do life my own way, and I think that's far scarier than anything that God could ever put on my plate, because if God's put it on there, he's made me capable to do it.
Amen.
Can I end with these two questions? First to you, Theda. Why do you have this on your heart?
For me, my passion is to see disciples made, to see families be made strong in God, to see generations empowered, and to see churches planted, because we know that God can actually transform lives. And we want to be able to share that same hope of Jesus Christ to the nation of Cambodia so that they actually have the opportunity to hear the gospel. I have this hope and I just want to share it.
And to save lives both for now and forever.
Absolutely. So bringing that spiritual aspect, but then also bringing that practical aspect of actually being able to help kids and families, teaching them how to swim, and then allowing them that opportunity to hear and be ministered with the gospel.
I'm struck by the simplicity of this, but the potential for what it might mean, as I said before, and I say this carefully, for thousands of young kids' lives.
Yeah.
Ben, what might people do if they feel inspired to capture this vision with you?
I've heard it said that you either go or you give to help someone else go. Not everyone is called to pack up and leave Australia, but everyone who is here can help get the gospel out to the rest of the world. Cambodia is 99% unreached, and we've got to reach the unreached. You're so in to see that happen, even though you're not going to necessarily be in a place. The gospel is free, but it costs money to get there.
Yeah. Theda and Ben Prevost, I'm totally inspired. I think it's a really interesting and yet simple but powerful and practical thing that you're aiming to do. We'll put the details of Australian Christian Churches International up on our Open House community Facebook page, and we'll keep in touch. See how you go. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having
thank
us.
You.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.